Okay, so we'll resume with the Mangalacharana enactment of auspiciousness verses, the first eight verses. So far we covered the first verse. And we'll begin just before starting with Mangalacharana verse number 2 with a little reference, two references from I bet these girls have a mother and father. That's a pretty safe bet. As you see on the screen, is a photograph of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was one of the many things he did as a great acharya was he published a regular publication called Sajana Toshini. And Sajana, one part of Sajana Toshini was topics brought for Bhaktisiddhanta to address, and he would address them. So in we're going to see two of them from Sajana Toshini. This one here, if the lights go down, you can see the screen better. Does somebody know how to turn the lights down? Or off? Or something. Here's the question that was asked of Bhaktisiddhanta. And, you know, in a series of many other questions. What are the characteristics of Sri Jiva Goswami? So he just is given the opportunity to praise him and glorify him. Bhaktisiddhanta's response, just by hearing the name Sri Jiva Goswami, the hearts of the Vaishnavas begin to dance in ecstasy. Sri Jiva Goswami studied all the devotional literature from Sri Rupa within a short time. Sri Jiva Goswami was accepted as the only acharya of authority on literature regarding the absolute truth in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. That means after the departure of Rupa and Sanatana. Of course, there were others that were as he was younger, because he was the nephew. So when they departed, he was the senior most Vaishnava amongst all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Senior most Vaishnava. Now, young like him were also Gopal Bhatta and Raghunath Bhatta, comparable in age, but most eminent. Sri Jiva Goswami did not leave Vrindavan Dham. You asked that question. Directly saying. During his stay in Vrindavan, Sri Jiva Goswami composed 25 books. In the Vedanta philosophy, there was no one equal to Sri Jiva at that time. The Sandarbha, written by Sri Jiva, is a jewel in this world. 5
books.
If someone properly understands the Satsangarbha, no Vedic conclusions remain unknown to him.
Satsangarbha, written by Sri Jiva, is a jewel in this world.
5
books.
25.
If someone properly understands the Satsangarbha, no Vedic conclusions.
Okay. But you see in the middle there's this dot, dot, dot. So I left out a part where a contemporary Bhaktisiddhanta wrote or explained. A contemporary of Jiva Goswami was Ballabha Acharya. Ballabha Acharya is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he also had association with Lord Chaitanya. There are some other exchanges between Jiva Goswami and Balabha which aren't mentioned here. But Balabhacharya recognized the erudition of Jiva Goswami. Balabhacharya requested Jiva Goswami, along with the other list of things that we saw that he did, to review his writings. Jiva Goswami pointed out a large number of discrepancies in his writings, all of which Balabhacharya accepted were correct, and he corrected his writings based on the advice of Jiva Goswami. And Balabhacharya was an acharya. He was, those of you that have been to Vrindavan, you'll know. He has his own group, his own like sampradaya, the Pushtimar, that's Balabhacharya. He accepted the editorial corrections of Jiva Goswami as incorrect. That's like, so now, this was the slide I was looking for in response to. So you missed the morning class. Did you hear the morning class? You missed it. Well, you can listen to the recording. I'm not going to say all of what I said this morning. But there's a reason why we're taking a look at Tattva Sandarbha. I mentioned some of those reasons. And here's Bhakti Siddhanta's explanation. The question that he was asked was, why is the Satsandarbha very dear to the Vaishnavas? You know, the most important is at the very bottom in very big letters. All the conclusions and thoughts of the Vaishnava Sampradaya are found in this work. Systematic and comprehensive. You're going to hear those two words again this evening. Systematic and comprehensive. I'll explain them a bit more this evening. So this, the Tattva Sandarbha, there's two sections to it. Well, there's three. There's a Mangalacharna, which we're covering right now. Eight verses. And then 9 through 26 is what we'll be covering starting this evening. And that's the Pramana section. If you want to glorify Krishna, before beginning, verse 9 says, let us carefully consider what's the best means of knowing the subject we wish to glorify. And what he wants to do, he does. He establishes that Srimad Bhagavatam is the best means of knowing about Krishna. Then he plunges into the topic of Krishna, Krishna Tattva. And that's the second half, the third part. So Mangalacharna, Pramana, and then the third is Prameya. We won't get there. But Praneya means what is to be known from the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the evidence or the source of valid knowledge about Krishna. So what are the essential truths about Krishna that the Bhagavatam reveals? In a compact manner. So we'll do that some other time. We want to know Krishna. So the goal is we want to know Krishna. What is the best means of knowing Krishna? We're looking at what the best means of knowing Krishna is. Okay. And now we'll go on to Mangalacharna number 2. And Mangalacharna number 2 is Jiva Goswami's explanation of number 1, or the verse that glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here's the verse. You see in big red letters is this part, Darshitangadi Vaibhavam Atak Krishnam Bahir Goram. Atak Krishnam Bahir Goram. Just like our prayer to Lord Nrisimha. Vahir Nrisimha, Hridaye Nrisimha. So, within, he's Krishna. On the outside, he's Gaura. But he's actually Krishna. But he's Gaura. Gaura Krishna. Gaura Chandra, Gaura Sundara, Gauranga. Darshi Tangadi Vaibhava. In this age of Kali, we have taken shelter of Krishna Chaitanya by congregationally chanting the Lord's holy names and performing other devotional practices. Blackish within, but golden without, then comes this Darshi Tangadi Vaibhava. It's emphasized because in his commentary on this verse, Jiva Goswami extends this a whole bunch. And Baladev does also. So, he exhibits all his opulence. That's this Vaibhava. Beginning with his bodily features. Anga Adi. Adi means beginning. Danga Adi, excuse me, Anga Adi, beginning with his bodily features. So Jiva Goswami is explaining here the opening verse, Mangala Charna number one. So now we're going to look at this Darshi Tanga Adi Vaibhavam. Here's Jiva Goswami's own commentary. Mahaprabhu displayed all spiritual opulences, proving he is God. Darshi Tangadi Vaibhavam. But not in the usual ways. But how, what did he do that was extraordinary or unusual? The distinctive opulences of Lord Chaitanya were his all-attractive pure love of Krishna and the unprecedented kindness and munificence which he showed to his devotees and to the unfortunate. So internally he relished love of God, externally he gave love of God. That's his special opulence. He's honored especially for that reason or that quality, his munificence. Who knows the verse? Namo Mahabhadanyaya. Krishna thing of the Dayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushenama. The verse says it also. He's glorified because of his munificence, his superlative kindness and compassion. Why? Or what was it so superlative? He gave love of God in the mood of the resident of Vrindavan, unlike any other incarnation ever offers. And he just gave it. Whereas Krishna said, surrender unto me and I'll give it. But Chaitanya didn't place any conditions, just take it. Oh, I'm distracted. Take it anyway. I'm not qualified. You'll become qualified, just take it. And to attract one to take it, he exhibited this mood of love of God, unprecedented love of God. So much so that persons that weren't devotees just literally couldn't understand. Even devotees have trouble understanding, what to speak of non-devotees. The states of unprecedented Mahabhava, even a living entity cannot experience and exhibit what Lord Chaitanya experienced and exhibited, because only Srimati Radharani can do that. And there's only one Radharani. Living entities aren't. And so we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita these descriptions, very, very confidential and mindful descriptions of the ecstasy of Mahaprabhu. One who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is an important lesson given by Jiva Goswami, so please listen carefully, it's very important. One who chants the Hare Krishna mantra approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most intimate relationship with his feminine counterpart, Srimati Radharani. Well, we all know that. But Jiva Goswami comments that since in other ages, this was considered only suitable for the most advanced spiritualists, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to everybody. So that means the everybody, that means us. We should be very strict in guarding against the offenses, because it's very intimate, very special, very confidential, and we have to be very conscientious about avoiding offenses, because it can spoil everything, this wonderful gift that we receive. And it happens. People, their spiritual well-being becomes harmed drastically from offenses. We don't like to hover on that too much, but it happens. We should be very, very part of Lord Chaitanya's instructions. Now, a little bit more on this Darshi Kangadi. So, in really big letters here is Anga Adi. Anga means limbs. Similar to the verse that this is explaining. Sangha Parshadam. The Angas and Upangas and the Parshadas. But he's put it in one phrase. Angadi, beginning with that's his direct associate, that's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. But in addition, his Anga directly means his own limbs. So he describes his body was so beautiful that just by seeing him, persons would become inspired to surrender to him. Angadi. Darsha, he gave his darshan of his form that gave impetus to persons to surrender to him. And further, through his associates, Nityananda and others, he engaged others in chanting the holy name. So this is just to explain that first verse. I'm going to go a little more quickly here. So now, Mangalacharna, verse number 3. Translation of this Greek. All glories to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana in the land of Mathura. They have engaged me in writing this book to broadcast the essential truth about the Supreme Lord. So if you can remember as far back as 7:30 this morning, 9 o'clock, that period of time, we discussed characteristics of a Mangalacharna. Would anybody like to volunteer? What is the type that's being exhibited here?
Glorifying. Glorifying the Lord.
Glorifying. What else?
Seeking blessings.
So can you describe? Because it's a little mysterious. Exactly what you just said, giving blessings. How is it that this verse, there's another one, Namaskar. He's offering obeisances. He's offering obeisances to Rupa and Sanatana. That's clear. He's glorifying them as devotees of the Lord. All glories to the Lord's devotees. There's another, so that's Ashirvad. But there's another very wonderful description that Baladev gives. Baladev, as you remember, he's one of the commentators on Tattvasandarbha. So here's what he says. We'll go back to this. You see these words put in bold letters. Jayatam and Srila and Tattvam and Yapakam. We're going to hear what Baladev says about these. that's coming just now. But here, as far as the word Jayatam, here's what Baladev says. There's some dictionary definitions of this term. May they be victorious, or may they manifest their supreme excellence. Appropriate dictionary definitions or renderings of Jayatam. Baladev specifically says that the root verb Jayati, meaning is victorious, in this circumstance expresses that beyond all other saintly persons, there's a special excellence of Rupa and Sanatana, and because of that, all Vaishnavas should offer their respects to Rupa and Sanatana. So what he says is, he's, Jiva, is giving blessings. He's not giving blessings to Rupa and Sanatana, he's giving blessings to the reader. So that if the reader, being reminded that they, Rupa and Sanatana, are so special, by offering respects to them, they'll receive benefit. They'll receive the Ashirvad of Rupa and Sanatana. Just by the word Jayatam. Acharyas like doing things like this. Then he takes the next word, and that's this word Srila. And dictionary definitions of Srila means endowed with the blessings of Sri. Sri is the goddess of fortune, the consort of Lord Vishnu. That's the goddess Sri. So they're Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana. That means Rupa and Sanatana have received the blessings of the goddess of fortune. They're endowed with the blessings of the goddess of fortune in the form of their knowledge, their detachment, and their spiritual discipline. So they have this endowment. And Gyapakau indicates those who teach others. They're not only learned, but they like to give what they have, the learnedness, to others. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were imparters of knowledge, but not the ordinary, just like a teacher. They were Gyapakau. And they gave that to Jiva Goswami. From persons that not only had knowledge but were free from all material motivations in so doing, in their giving and having received. They were pure devotees. He's just unpacking this word, Yapakau. So, Baladev concludes that what Jiva Goswami is doing is saying, by Srila and Gyapakau, Rupa and Goswami receive the goddess of fortune's blessings, and they're enthused to impart those blessings to the reader. So go to them, place your head at their feet, and glorify them, and appreciate them, and honor them, because they can give it to you too. May you receive their blessings. And then, finally, with this verse, Baladev describes this word tattva. We talked a little bit about tattva this morning. Here's what Baladev says about the word tattva. From the dictionary, Vishvakosha dictionary, there's several standard meanings to the word tattva. Tattva commonly means truth, the truths about something. Like we say Jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva, Shakti tattva, Krishna tattva, Guru tattva, the truths about something. So additional meanings, a kind of verbal proposition, the essential substance of something, or the Supreme Soul. So Baladev says, what he's indicating, Jiva Goswami is indicating, is that Rupa and Sanatana reveal the personality of Godhead in full. His abode, his associates, his pastimes, everything about him. Rupa and Sanatan gave it to him. He wants to give it to us. They are Vyapakao. They're endowed with this ability of fullness of the mercy of Goddess of Fortune. They want to give it, and Jiva Goswami is just postal peon. He's the deliverer of their mercy. Please take it. That's what Baladeva is saying, what Mangalacharna verse 3 says. Now there was a question in the end of the morning question and answer session about Gopal Bhatta. Fortunately, Jimoda Jeevan is taking care of a small child, so you can just relay this to him. Here's the Mangalacharna verse number 4. A friend of Sri Rupa's and Sri Sanatana's, a Bhatta scholar born in South India Brahmin family, compiled the original version of this book based on the writings of Venerable Vaishnavas. So this teaches us what is the source of the Sandarbhas. So the source is a highly reputable person. And that highly reputable person is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. A little bit about the life of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Besides being an eternal associate of Krishna, in the Leela with Lord Chaitanya, he was a small boy when he first met Lord Chaitanya. He was something like 6 years old. Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India. And when he came to the Sri Rangam temple in South India, the rainy season had begun. The chief priest, Venkata Bhatta, father of Gopal, invited Lord Chaitanya to stay with him for 4 months during the rainy season. Difficult to travel during the rainy season. Lord Chaitanya accepted. So he stayed in the house of Venkata Bhatta. I've been to that house. And you can palpably feel something. In fact, the person who was taking us to a descendant of Venkata Bhatta asked, "Do you feel Lord Chaitanya's presence?" Then he said it. "You can feel Lord Chaitanya's presence in this house." Lord Chaitanya was there and stayed 4 months. And while he was there, the small 6-year-old son of Venkata Bhatta, Gopal, he was with Lord Chaitanya day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day for 4 months. Not just hanging out. He was serving him, and he was hearing from him, and he was taking the remnants of his prasad, and he became very attached to him. So in the course of that time, he came to know Lord Chaitanya's teachings and his mood and his true identity. Now other Vaishnavas from other sampradayas, even from that very same sampradaya, don't necessarily understand Lord Chaitanya the way that we understand Lord Chaitanya. They may see him as a great saint or sannyasi or something like that, but not as Krishna himself. Gopal and his father came to understand Krishna himself. There's many things described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when it was time, the rainy season was over, Lord Chaitanya was going to leave, Gopal wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. He pleaded with me, cried, "Let me go with you. I'm attached to you." You know, and transcendentally attached. And Lord Chaitanya said, "No. You stay with your mother and father, and you serve your mother and father. The day will come, they'll give their blessing. Then you can go and take the association of Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan. And that way you can get my association." And Lord Chaitanya left. And Gopal cried. But he had now understood Lord Chaitanya's mood and the essence of his teachings. And because he was such an amazing personality, now himself invested with pure love for Krishna, he studied and studied and studied, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, and took notes on Srimad Bhagavatam. And I don't know if you've seen the note-taking of certain people that are really careful and meticulous about their note-taking. He kept his note in a form of a manuscript, basically. And when he went to Vrindavan, he gave the manuscript to his the disciple of Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva, and said, "Can you make a book out of this? It's publishable." And so Jiva Goswami accepted the service. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, known by that time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, because Gopal Bhatta became Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that just one condition, don't mention my name. So Jiva Goswami kept his word. He didn't mention his name. He just said in the verse, a friend of Sri Rupa's and Sanatan's, a Bhatta scholar. Bhatta is a term that means a learned person. A learned person is a Bhatta, or a Vitra, or Pandit, or some, you know, different nomenclature. So a learned Bhatta from South India, whose name is Gopal. So he's attributing, you know, what he received, the manuscript that he received from Gopal Bhatta in this way. And in its original version of a book based on the writings of venerable Vaishnavas. Now we'll hear more about the venerable Vaishnavas when we get to verse 27. The venerable Vaishnavas primarily were Ramanujacharya. And those associates of Ramanujacharya who wrote writings in accordance with Ramanujacharya. He gets really specific about it in verse 27. Now, Jiva Goswami says something that I knew already, but it was just confirmed when he said it. Our teachings in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more closely resemble the teachings of Ramanujacharya than that of Madhvacharya, although we're in the line of Madhvacharya. And our procedures of worship more closely resemble the procedures of worship of the Ramanujacharya followers than of the Madhva followers. Now you see Gopal Bhatta, his father was chief priest. So the teachings he provided in the form of the manuscript that became the Sandarbhas, and the manual that teaches the procedures for worship became what Sanatana Goswami put together in Hari Bhakti Vilas. The root source of them, there he is. And when he gave that manuscript to Sanatana Goswami, same request, please put this in a publishable form on one condition. Don't mention my name. So he did. But substantial work was done by both Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But here's the root, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And mentioning, Baladev indicates in his commentary that mentioning Gopal Bhatta's name was done not only to give credit to Gopal, credit where credit is deserved, but also to add support to the authoritative and authentic nature of his work. It wasn't just like his creative writing or speculative ideas about the Bhagavatam and its message. Gopal Bhatta had great credentials, and Gopal Bhatta heard directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then took his notes and wrote his writings. Now he goes on in Mangalacharna 5, describing that first edition of this work, that book, that manuscript that he received from a certain Bhatta scholar from South India. The first edition of this work was a rough draft with some parts in topical order and others not, and with some parts only suggestive fragments. So I, an insignificant jiva, that's this word here, jivakaha. Jivakaha. Jiva means the spirit soul. And jivakaha is diminutive. Very tiny soul. One insignificant jiva. This, I, an insignificant jiva, have carefully gone over the manuscript and rewritten it more systematically. So, more systematically, this word here, paryayam, means, word for word, it means he systematically arranged it. Now you're going to hear again this evening, this systematic. It's an important word. It's not just like commentary. It's very systematic. He's covering A to Z. Systematic and comprehensive. Everything, anything, completely explained. But, you know, in a very logical, and you'll see the logic of how he does what he does. He not only knows his stuff, it's so logical how he goes. I mean, it's awesome. So, paryayam. And then in this second line, kranta, vyutkranta, kanditam. By the way, this very verse, Mangalacharana 5, appears in the Mangalacharana of Paramatma Sundarbha, word for word. So it's an important verse. He's sharing with his reader the glorification that he gives to Gopal Bhatta and the contribution that he added to Gopal Bhatta's manuscript. Kranta vyut kranta. Kranta vyut kranta means, you know, statement to the counter-statement. Argument, various arguments. And kanditam, refuting. So what he's saying here is, what Gopal Bhatta did, hearing from Lord Chaitanya, being himself a learned scholar, although he was young, he was the son of the chief priest of Sri Rangam. He had access to all kinds of writings. And he read them. And he heard some people over there say this, but he knew what Lord Chaitanya said and what the Bhagavatam said. So from the Bhagavatam he took notes saying, this is what the Bhagavatam says when some people say that. Argument and counter-argument. That was what the manuscript did. Systematically, Jiva Goswami rearranged it, put it in really, really cohesive, sensible order. So this is homage to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So from this verse, Mangalacharana number 5, and when you go, one who goes through the book itself, this is Baladeva now speaking, the coherence, he said it was not so coherent, it was not in sequence and order, very, very sequential, very, very systematic, very coherent, and voluminous like anything. It wasn't just a manuscript, it's huge composition. Therefore, it's concluded by Baladeva that the primary work was Jiva Goswami's work. The skeleton was there, and then he put some missing, bones and pieces into the skeleton and filled it out. Because the the argument and the counter-argument elements were there, and he just took it to in a very comprehensive fashion. Now here's a comment by our BBT commentators, and if you look in this BBT publication, you won't find it, so but I took it anyway, because I especially appreciate it. There's a digital version of this book that you can get online from ISKCON Desire Tree. I've been told, I haven't tried to find it. But it's available. And in that digital version, there's Gopi Pranadana and then the BBT editors. So this is taken from the BBT editors. It's very nice, so I wanted to include it in this presentation today. Whoops. There we go. Among the Vedantists, adherence to the opinions of previous acharyas is not merely a matter of intellectual integrity, but is an essential spiritual principle. Vaishnava Vedantists do not try to discover reality on their own strength, individual or collective, but depend on revealed knowledge reported in standard scriptures and received through ancient lines of Pacific succession, Guru Parampara. So no, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami directly heard from Lord Chaitanya, and Jiva Goswami heard from them. Gopal Bhatta heard directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gopal Bhatta gave his manuscript to Jiva Goswami. He was fully realized in the arguments of the opposition. He was fully realized in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And brilliant, genius, scholarship. So he is just seeing himself as a jivaka, an insignificant jiva that's just putting it all together and offering it as a service because he was asked to do so. Now, Mangalacharna 6. Now here's, I'll ask you, which of the qualities of a Mangalacharna does this one represent? Only those who have no desire other than to worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna should read this book. Everyone else I warn off with my curse. Adhikari. Adhikari means qualification. Specifically, the qualification of the reader. What's the qualification? Exclusive devotion to Krishna. No interest in anything other than worship of Krishna. So anyone that doesn't have that qualification can leave the world. No. He's presenting that as, that's my desire, that's my intended audience. My intended audience is not, you know, arguers and speculators and, you know, armchair philosophers and all those other people. My audience is Krishna Bhaktas. But then there's this curious thing about this cursing. This comes from Sarvatsambhadavi. He's fulfilling his own mandate, or the stated scriptural mandate, of the four things, and in these final verses we'll find all four of them. Here's one of the four, Adhikari. So remember the term Adhikari and Mangalacharna number 6. Interested only in Krishna Bhakti, pure Krishna Bhakti. Jiva Goswami, according to Baladev, says he's indicating indirectly that these six sandarbhas will be establishing exclusive bhakti, unalloyed bhakti to Krishna as the goal in this mature stage is prema. He's not stating it, he's indicating it indirectly. Now, what's the thing about curse? You know, This is Jiva Goswami. Why is he uttering curses in his Mangalacharana? Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't exactly use the word curse, but he also imposes restrictions on Arjuna, who to not share this with, that means to us, who to not share this with. Meanwhile, we distribute Bhagavad Gita like anything. Are we violating Krishna's words of Bhagavad Gita? Here's Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. That's pretty much everybody, because we wouldn't be in the material world without envy of Krishna. So don't tell Bhagavad Gita to anybody that's in the material world. And who do you tell Bhagavad Gita to? Or, can anybody think of another example? Chaitanya Charitamrita example? Anybody think of that? There's a passage where Krishna Das Kaviraj is describing some very confidential things about Lord Chaitanya in Adi Leela, and then he kind of does a boomerang. He says, well, you know, really I shouldn't be saying these things because they're so confidential. But then he says, the camel-like non-devotees cannot enter into these topics anyway. Therefore, there's a special jubilation in my heart. I can go ahead and say them. They won't understand it anyway. Camel-like non-devotees. So, he's not a nasty person, Krishna Das Kaviraj. If Krishna is not a nasty person, then Deva Goswami is not a nasty person. So, what's the idea here? It's explained in the commentary that if critical or just argumentative people go on and read the book, and they start rejecting the opinions of Jiva Goswami and Vyasadeva, they're going to get a reaction for that. So he's warning them off. That's his curse. Don't intrude where you don't belong. However, as Prabhupada writes in relation to this verse from Bhagavad Gita, that the devotees do this anyways, because they understand Krishna's desire to bring people back to him, and they'll take on that trouble for themselves. And there's trouble, if you haven't noticed. There's trouble involved in this process of bringing bhakti into the lives of people who don't meet those qualifications that Krishna speaks of, particularly envious of Krishna problem. At the same time, this is Lord Chaitanya's mood to give Krishna bhakti to qualified and unqualified persons. Because the age is same as Vyas. The age is so confused. He compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's... And here we are. We're publishing the book. Here we are. We're teaching the book of O Lord Chaitanya. Jiva Goswami says, don't go there if you have envy in your heart. Or you're not austere or some other things. But it's part of the munificence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. And one more, Baladev, in describing the qualification of the reader, the adhikar of the reader, he focuses on this word eka, ya Sri Krishna padam bhoja bhajan eka or eka vilas van. Significantly, this word eka means even amongst those desiring to render service to Lord Krishna, none should harbor personal ambition in his heart and misuse the sandarbhas for gaining profit, adoration, and distinction. Something similar to what Rupa Goswami writes about, that devotional service should not be done, or one shouldn't read many books in order to speak very nicely, so persons will go, oh wow, he speaks very nicely, he knows so, he has so much knowledge, or she. Not for that purpose, not for that self-interested purpose. Ambition within the heart to gain profit, adoration, to distinction. So exclusive devotion to Krishna means like that. Just devotion to Krishna. None of those other contaminations. And we're almost there. Almost completed Mangalacharna. Verse number 7. Now I bow down to my initiating spiritual master. That was Rupa Goswami. And to my spiritual masters, plural, including Sanatana Goswami and others, who taught me the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Having done this, I now declare my desire. We're going to hear something now about Sankalpa. He's stating his Sankalpa, his intention. My desire to present this encyclopedic work, Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha. Now notice in purple, this word Sandarbha is highlighted twice because he speaks it twice or writes it twice. And there are two separate meanings according to the sentence. Sri Bhagavat Sandarbham is this encyclopedic work. And then there's Sandarbha Vangshi Lekitam. You see that these distinctions of these meanings. So now this word sankalpa, those of you that have attended japa retreats and things like that, we're going to be having a japa retreat here in January 1, 2, and 3, just after the turn of the year. So sankalpa, it literally means intention or determination. Valadeva says it implies a solemn intent to carry out some sacred work. And then examples are given, two examples. And that is the Brahmana himself who's performing a yajna. At the very beginning, the Brahmana utters a sankalpa. The sankalpa is that they're going to maintain their performance of the yajna until it's complete at any cost. It's something like, well, something like what we're more familiar with is when you begin Gayatri chanting, you don't interrupt Gayatri chanting, nor should you interrupt somebody who's chanting Gayatri until they're finished. Similarly, when worshiping a deity, you're not to, once you begin worshiping the deity, you don't, you know, go get a cup of water, or you'll have a conversation with somebody, or answer your cell phone. You complete, uninterrupted. You're approaching the deity and you complete, uninterrupted. There's this example in Chaitanya Charitamrita when one devotee was doing his puja, Mini Chaitanya Ram entered. Everyone offered their obeisances to Mini Chaitanya Ram except the pujari, because he wasn't respecting Mini Chaitanya Ram, because he didn't respect Lord Nityananda. He was chastised. A little, for your information, little story. One time, when Prabhupada was arriving at the airport in New York, there was a plan, a strategy. The strategy was, rather than leaving some people back at the temple to receive Prabhupada when he came to the temple, everyone went to the airport. This is when they didn't have security. Everybody went into the airport. So the arrival gate, and then came Prabhupada, a big kirtan, flowers all over the place. And somebody back there grooming up the flowers that were thrown all over the place. And the airport employees are wondering, what the heck is going on? You know, an umbrella over Prabhupada's head. No rain or sunshine, just an umbrella over his head, and kirtan, people jumping up and down. And so the plan was, the driver driving Prabhupada in Prabhupada's car would get lost. Or not lost. He would take a longer route. So all the devotees went to the airport to be back at the temple to receive Prabhupada when he arrived at the temple. But the internal potency worked the other way around. They got lost and Prabhupada got there. Prabhupada wasn't fazed by that at all. He just, went up the steps and into the temple and came before the deity, Radha Govinda. Now, the pujari at the time, the one person staying back at the temple was the pujari because they had to perform the arti for the deity. So it was Rukmini. Some of you are from Washington area, you know Rukmini. She was doing the arti. And she didn't know what to do because, a little higher than this, the altar was raised a bit. She's there, ringing the bell and offering the article to Radha Govinda. She got off the altar and paid obeisances to Prabhupada, got back on the altar and continued the arti. And later she asked Prabhupada, did I do the right thing? And he said, you did the right thing. Although technically, once you start, you don't stop for anything, but for this, she stopped and she did the right thing. So, sankalpa. When a brahmana starts a yajna, like you showed that picture of King Nimi doing a sacrifice, the brahmins were doing it. You don't stop. But he stopped when the Navayogendras came. He did the right thing. But there's a vow that you take, he won't stop. That's what the brahmana does. And similarly, now this is Sarvasambhadini, Jiva Goswami says, in the Soma sacrifices, one of the rituals found in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, where you can produce Soma Rasa, there's the person who is to receive the benefit, the Soma Rasa, called the Yajamana, there's a formal thing he's supposed to do, and that's chant a Sankalpa mantra, and he sits there with a danda, rod, like a sannyas danda, rod. I'm going to maintain this vow. I'm going to stay here for the whole thing until it's done. And it's a symbolic gesture that he holds the rod. He sits on a deer skin and he's got to stay right through the whole thing until it's done, however long it takes. That's the sankalpa. And similarly, Jiva Goswami is doing like this. He's taking this vow that he'll complete this work. And he completes the work. Now, he then goes into this description of what's a sandarbha. If you remember from yesterday evening's class, there was one of the manuals that Jiva Goswami wrote was a manual on how to compose a champu. Remember that? That's a literary type, a type of academic work, is a champu. Not so well known, he made it well known. Sandarbha is similarly not so well known. We don't hear so many times this word sandarbha. He knew what it meant. It means it's systematic and comprehensive. So he now gives this definition of what a sandarbha is. It appears twice in the verse. One is the book itself, Bhagavad Sandarbha. And here's Jiva Goswami's own definition of what a sandarbha is. The wise call a composition sandarbha when it elucidates a deep subject matter. It focuses directly on essentials. It is excellently composed. It conveys various complex ideas. And it is readily understandable. I mean, that's kind of contradictory. Various complex ideas, that's readily understandable. Excellently composed, focuses on, so it, although it's deep subject matter, it just, it doesn't, it goes over essentials. Because you get details and details and details, and it can be very confusing. So details may not be presented, but essentials are presented. And when essentials are presented, you'll see, he goes deeply with it. And not only he makes his statements, he looks at what other people might say about those statements. And he raises them. He doesn't like, you know, tuck it under the rug. Nobody notices. He brings it out. And then he addresses them. Because he wants the idea to be understood clearly. Here's a nice explanation of another way of saying the same thing. When you're going to define something, you're going to describe a tattva, or truth about something, you say both what it is and what it isn't. It's both inclusive and exclusive, because if you don't do the exclusive, it could be vague. Well, you say this, well, it might be that. He says, some people say it might be that. Well, it's not that because, so it excludes that and that and that, it is this. That's the essence. And he goes deeply. And it's well composed. And it's complex ideas that are readily understandable. That's the Sundarbha. And that's Jiva Goswami. You know, he's a Sundarbha proponent. And that's what the Sundarbhas are. Starting with this Tattva Sundarbha. In the verse, we saw Sri Bhagavat Sundarbha, and then in the final line, the word Sundarbha is used again. In this case, because of the use, it means something slightly different. It means a written work. Okay, now we're almost done. Mangalacharna, verse number 8. So here's verse number 8. And as you hear verse number 8, see if you can find the other elements of what a Mangalacharna must include. Because he's already given the adhikari, the qualification of the reader. Now he's going to restate, he's already stated some of this, but he's going to restate the other ones. Sambandha, Vishaya and Prayojana. Those are the other three. Lord Krishna's abstract feature of pure spiritual essence often goes by the name Brahman in the text of the Vedas. His partial expansion as the Lord of creation regulates the material nature, Maya, and exerts his control through further personal expansions. That's Paramatma, by the way. Brahman Paramatma. A single manifestation of his personality, called Narayana, rules sovereign in the transcendental sky beyond this universe. May that same Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the object, by the way, Vishaya, be pleased to grant pure love for himself, as Prayojana, by the way, to those who worship his lotus feet in this world. That's the method to get there, by the way. So, this verse is summarizing the essence of the entire Sundarbhas. Bhagavad Sundarbha, Paramatma Sundarbha, Krishna Sundarbha, Bhakti Sundarbha, and Preeti Sundarbha. The next five coming up, Sundarbhas. So, may that same Sri Krishna, this is a benediction, Ashirvad, to the reader. Now here's the Sanskrit for the verse, and I've highlighted in, you know, bold colors the last line. Sa, that, Sri Krishna, Swayam, Bhagavan. Notice that's, you know, the object of the book is he wants to glorify Krishna, just as the invocation said he wanted to do. So here's that term again, what a Mangalacharna must include. Anu Bandha Chatushtaya. This indicates four. Chatushtaya, four elements. For sake of reminder, here's Sarva Sambhadini, his definition of what that is. At the beginning of a book, text number 8, at the beginning of a book, at its beginning, a book must describe these four items, the qualification of the person who may read the book. We did that one. Adhikari. The connection between the book, the Sandarbhas, and the subject, Krishna. The subject itself, Krishna. And what the reader will gain by reading the book and following the path it prescribes, prayojana. So now, remember this line, Sa Sri Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. Sa Sri Krishna and Swayam Iha Bhagavan, or that same Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead, indicates Krishna as he is portrayed in Srimad Bhagavatam is the Vishaya of the Sandarbhas. So there's the book and the subject of the book. Got it? Sambandha. The book and the words within the book, or the subject of the words in the book. Krishna is the subject being spoken about. And there's a relationship. And the absolute truth in all its aspects, personal, impersonal, complete and partial. Then, prema, this goal. There's the word prema. That's the goal. Identifies the final goal achieved by bhakti yoga, namely, transcendental love for Krishna, in which a devotee enjoys his own personal relationship with the Lord forever. Then the final phrase here, tat pada bhajam. For those who worship as lotus feet, describes the essence of the recommended means for realizing Sri Krishna, that is bhakti yoga, devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. Now, in his Sarva Sambhadini, Jiva Goswami gets a little technical. Vacha, Vachaka, Sambandha. There's a relationship between in Sanskrit linguistics, words and the meaning of the words. Vacha, the words. Vachaka, Sambandha. The relationship between the words and the meaning of the words. That's the Sanskrit linguistic technical term. Jiva Goswami points to it that similarly a book has an integral relationship with its subject. I remember where this took place. Oh, I remember. On my flight from Chicago to New Jersey, the person sitting next to me was a lady that liked to talk. Southwest Airlines, you know, what do? Just whoever sits next to you. So, she was busy doing the reading and eventually got around to seeing, you know, are you a monk? And, you know, and then she started wanting to talk, really wanted to talk about herself. And